Well, good evening. I bring you greetings from Washington, where nothing works. I'm a journalist. I've been one for a long time. And this story is set in the great city of Philadelphia, where I was a reporter and an editor for a long time. At one point in my career in Philly, I covered the waterfront. I was covering the Longshoremen Union. I'm 6 feet. All of those guys are 8 feet, maybe 9 feet. Their arms are as big as my legs. They're very big guys. And one of the things that I was reporting about at that period was the tradition of feather bedding. One of the traditions of Philadelphia longshoremen was a crew that used to help unload the ships. It was called the Hatch and Beam Gang. And the hulls were covered with canvas covers to keep the seawater out. And the Hatch and Beam Gang had to take that canvas cover off of the hulls of all the ships. Now, canvas covers went the way of the wisp in about 1930. But the Philadelphia Union that represented the longshoremen required a hatch and beam gang for every ship that came into the harbor, even though there was a button that moved the metal across the hold. One of the things that I didn't realize is that the longshoremen union's men were all paid in cash. And when you wrote stories about how much money they made, their wives were surprised that the money that was coming home in their paychecks was not as much as I was reporting they were actually making. So one of the unintended consequences about being a journalist sometimes is to wreak havoc. And I think there was a lot of marital distress and discourse by the reporting I was doing. Well, after many months of reporting about all this stuff, the Longshoremen Union decided to have a vote on their upcoming contract. Well, I've been pretty blessed at being savvy as a journalist. I also have this tendency to be sort of naive. And one of the naive things I did covering the longshoremen was just go to the union hall and say, hey, I'm here to cover your vote. What do you think? And the first thing they did was throw me out. And then the second thing they did was surround me. So here's Jim at 6 feet tall, was surrounded by all these 9 foot guys with arms as big as my legs. And they had to tell me a few things about what I was doing to their marriages and their lives. They were not a happy bunch of guys. It was probably one of the most tension-filled moments of my life. They decided after a lot of yelling and swearing and screaming and howling and hooting that they were gonna take me outside and beat me up. So they started moving me to the door. I'm surrounded by all these guys, and they're moving me to the door. And one of them shouts, whoa, wait a minute, stop, everybody. And I said, whew, why stop? But I'm happy you did, guys. And one of them turned and said, look over there. And in the corner of this hotel in this lonely road in the bowels of Philadelphia near the oil refineries, where there wasn't a light outside, so they could have thumped me pretty easily without anybody noticing, was a guy in a trench coat. He was standing in the corner, and it turned out that he was an undercover cop for the city of Philadelphia in their labor racketeering squad. And every one of the union members knew that that guy in the trench coat was an undercover cop. So seeing him stopped the beating that I was about to get. So afterwards, I went up to the guy and I said, hey, thanks, man. I'm glad you were here. And he said, you should be really glad I was here. I said, okay, I'm really glad you were here. So the next day, I decided to go to the police department to thank him, you know, and brought a box of chocolates, which is what 6 foot guys, 6 foot tall guys do to cops, you know, bring them a box of chocolates. And I walk in the room and I introduce myself, and the secretary at the door yells across the room, hey, Joe, it's that journalist from the Enquirer. And the whole room stood up and applauded as I walked in, saying, you got a lot of guts, kid. You got a lot of guts. What this is a story about is sometimes how journalists do things that first put themselves a little bit at risk. And we do it because all of you need to know what's happening. And you don't know what's happening unless journalists go out in the street, ask questions, and figure it out. You also ought to know that journalists oftentimes throw towns and people and families into a cocktail. So that's what I did. That's what I do now, and I hope you all read a newspaper.